You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. 118 years ago this week, the course of American history changed because of two bullets fired by an Alpena-born steelworker. One of the bullets hit President William McKinley, who died 8 days later. University of Michigan medical historian and PBS contributor Dr. Howard Markell is here with us now. So President McKinley is in Buffalo, New York. Happy occasion, the Pan American Exposition of 1901 on that fateful September 6th. What happened during this reception?
Well, he had a very busy day. You know, first of all, he was an extremely popular president. He had just won the Spanish-American War. He waltzed into re-election. He was the pro-business president. He was well-loved by the robber barons and the well-heeled of America. He had gone to Niagara Falls. He gave a big speech about the warnings of isolationism. And then he was in the Temple of Music, where he was shaking hands of admiring contributors, voters, and citizens.
Pressing the flesh.
Pressing the flesh.
And then what happened?
Well, there was one man, Leon Czolgosz, who was Alpena-born. He was an unemployed steelworker. He lost his job in the Depression of 1893. And up until, 1928, that was the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. 1929 became the Great Depression in our memory. But that was a very serious bust in the American economy. He never really got employed again, and he became an anarchist. He was inspired by Emma Goldman. She gave a lecture at Cleveland, Ohio, and he thought that was just the way to go, anarchy.
And what did that mean?
Well, it meant that you were against government of all forms and leaders of all forms, and you wanted to do whatever you could to disrupt that government. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Called different things, but it was anarchy, as we use it in the vernacular. And there was the king of Italy right that year, King Umberto, who was murdered by an anarchist. And so he thought he would take things into his own hands. And he went to Buffalo. He traveled to Buffalo. He wrapped his hand in a handkerchief but was holding a revolver. And when President McKinley shook his hand, he had the other hand shoot him twice. Now, one bullet they never found because it bounced off of his breastbone or off of a button. They're not quite clear. And the other pierced his body, but they never actually found that slug either, although there were two holes in his stomach when he was operated on.
Okay, so he was operated on. Who did that, and how did that surgery go?
Well, talk about an emergency. I mean, it was is there a doctor in the house kind of situation?
The president has been shot.
Yeah, the president's been shot, and, once I was on an airplane flight, and they called for a doctor, and I said, I'm a pediatrician. And the other doctor said, well, I'm a radiologist, so you're up. So it's not necessarily your field, and this was a gynecologist named Matthew Mann. He was the dean of the University of Buffalo Medical School. He operated on McKinley in the Pan American Hospital. There was a model hospital as part of the exhibit. And he could not find the bullet. He did not see any bleeding underneath the pancreas. He sewed up the two holes in the stomach and then closed. And then they brought the president to a leading contributor's home in Buffalo to recover. Gave him a little morphine, and they gave him some brandy and some strychnine to make his heart race a little faster.
And you're saying everything was looking rosy for about 5 days,
yeah.
And Dr. Mann was taking plaudits and praise from everybody?
Yeah, he was the greatest.
So
until
it went well until it wasn't,
yeah.
By September 12th.
Yeah, and then the patient went downhill. He developed heart failure, and then he died. And then Dr. Mann was the scapegoat of the nation. In fact, the McKinley family nor the federal government even paid his bill. So it was pretty bad.
So what do they feel caused the president's death?
You know, the armchair pathologists love to come up with things. One person said that Czolgosz had tipped his bullets with poison. Mm. Really what happened, to begin with, the gynecologist, Mann, never put in any drains to drain out all the fluid that often happens after abdominal surgery and which can collect and cause an infection.
Nasty things.
Right. And don't forget, this is 1901. They know about microbes and germs, mm-hmm. but there are no antibiotics till 1946. There are no IV fluids either, for that matter, till the 30s. So he basically died of an overwhelming infection of the gut. And they didn't know what to do, or they couldn't do anything even if they wanted to. And he sadly died. And that made Teddy Roosevelt, who looked at the vice presidency as a stepping stone to oblivion, it made him the president, and it changed American history.
It did. He was very much different than McKinley.
He was. He was very progressive. He had a lot of great ideas about helping Americans daily in their daily lives. He founded the 1906 Food and Drug Administration by signing the 1906 Food and Drug Act, which affects our health on a positive basis every day. And in fact, the Republicans didn't like him very much. He was governor of New York, and the boss of Republican politics in New York, Thomas Platt, wanted him out.
Get him out of the way.
Teddy Roosevelt said, I'd rather be a history professor. And I have to tell you, I've been a history professor for 30 years. I'd kind of rather be vice president for a couple weeks.
Well, what of the unemployed Alpena steelworker?
Well, justice was served really quickly. Within days, he was put on trial. He tried to plead insanity. And a lot of people felt, well, you had to be insane to do what you did. But that didn't matter. He was sentenced to death by electrocution. And by October, he was gone.
It is stunning to read your piece and realize that Czolgosz was executed just 7 weeks after the assassination.
Yeah, isn't it?
Wow.
No appeals, no nothing.
Nothing. And also very stunning to think, despite the assassinations of Abraham Lincoln and James Garfield, zero security?
That's an excellent point. The president, McKinley, had no guards around him, despite the fact that two presidents in the 19th century had been assassinated. The Secret Service was founded in 1865 by the Treasury Department to ferret out counterfeiters, or those who were trying to manipulate the markets, the money markets and such. That's why it's still part of the Treasury Department. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until 1901 that they expanded their mission to protect the president, the vice president, and his or her families, and now vice president and presidential candidates and their families.
Lessons learned.
Lessons learned. I wish that we didn't have to learn those lessons, but sadly we do.
University of Michigan medical historian and PBS contributor, Dr. Howard Markell, thank you so much.
Thank you.